Hey everybody, I'm Luke and welcome back to The Breakdown. We are going to be covering Orphan Sunday. Well, not Orphan Sunday. It's Belong Sunday now. It's one of my favorite Sundays since I've come to HPC, and even before then, I remember when I was at my other church where the Lord had me, that Kim came and she did a presentation on Bags of Hope. And that was one of my first introductions to Kim Gagne. And it's really cool now being on this side to continue that heart, to continue experiencing the Lord's desire to reunify those who are lost with a family, to be part of His great family. And we got to hear from Pastor Mike O'Brien on Sunday, who shared in such a vulnerable way from his own story, just seeing how the Lord moved in his life, how the Lord's faithfulness was present even in all of those difficult times. And I know even for me, who I didn't grow up in a what we would consider a broken home, but seeing how the Lord is also faithful to each of us. And when you look through your family tree, when you look through your family line, you can see how the Lord is in the business of healing and restoring. And to explore that a little bit more, I have invited two of my very special friends, Nate and Haley Eckerson. Welcome.
Hey, Lou, great
to
be here.
Hey, thank you for having us.
It's awesome having you guys. So just for a little context, Nate and Haley are the overseers of the greenhouse that I'm part of. We're part of their greenhouse. We meet in Rehoboth. So it's great to have them here. And, you know, they've shepherded me as friends and then also mentored me. It's really cool having you guys in my life, and you model so many of the things that I hope to someday get to model when I have a family, when the Lord entrusts me with children. And adoption and foster care are a big part of your story.
That's yes, right. It is.
Absolutely.
So just so people get to know you, just take a few minutes, explain how you guys met. That's a fun story.
You're gonna take this one?
Yeah, well, I guess I'll start it. I'll kick this off. So I was getting along in years. I was getting older, you know, hitting my 30s. And I was like, man, you know, I'm not going to meet anybody if I just expect them to drop into my lap. So I decided it was time to get serious about online dating. I made that profile on Christian Mingle and started looking, and lo and behold, I was able to find this beautiful girl, Haley. So I reached out to her, and well, things started from there.
Yeah, so we went on two dates. As most people know, the story goes, and after the second date, he dropped that he was homeschooled.
No,
so I know, and I know I'm sitting here with two homeschoolers, and we're also homeschooling our kiddos
now. The scarlet letter.
Yeah. So, but I, you know, kind of phrased it as we could be friends, but Nate, was committed to continuing our friendship, and attended at the time I was leading a young adults group at my parents' house. So he was joining in and also brought his sisters and a couple other friends. So we got to know each other through that.
Yeah.
He also was getting mentored by my dad and doing a Bible study with him, which was my soft spot when you see a man click with my dad and study God's word as I got home from shifts at the hospital. I was a nurse.
Yeah.
And then it was.
Yeah. So that was amazing. We got to know each other in the context of writing this Bible study together. So I was at Haley's house a lot, hanging out with her parents and the family. And come 2018, we decided to give the relationship a second try with some prodding from Haley's dad, who kicked all that off. And things went really well for both of us.
It went very quickly.
Very quickly. we knew a lot about each other by that point, and decided that we would get married, and ended up getting married in October of 2018. Mm-hmm. And so we started our life together. We moved over to Attleboro. And from the beginning, Haley and I had the thought that adoption or foster care was going to be part of our family's story.
Awesome.
I had families in my life that had adopted before, so I had seen that, but I wasn't really that familiar with the foster care process. But Haley, you had some family members who had done that before.
Yeah, I've had a couple cousins adopted through foster care, including a family that goes to our church currently. So we have kiddos the same age. And also having worked at Children's Hospital. Yeah. Saw a lot of kids with, you know, entering the system with abuse and different stories. And so that definitely was breaking down my heart. And mm-hmm. it was a non-negotiable that mm-hmm. I knew that foster care would be a part of our story.
That's
and
awesome.
Nate was excited about that too.
So you guys were unified on that from the
yes.
beginning.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
And you were already attending His Providence Church when you got married?
We were transitioning kind of out of another church and into His Providence. We kind of started our engagement here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. We've been here for about 6.5 years.
So. Yep. Yeah. I had come to His Providence for Marked Men when I was doing that. So this was back when we were over in the mall. Not this mall, but the
unrenovated space.
Yeah. So. So I was familiar with the church, and we started pretty much our married church journey started here at HPC.
Very cool. So how did you go about, because I'm sure there's lots of people listening who from Sunday and just, you know, as the Lord has been stirring in their hearts, they're looking to maybe take a step in that direction to foster. How did you take those first steps?
Yeah, so... from just a logistical place, the first step is to take, I believe it's called the MAPS class. Mm-hmm. It's offered, it's foster care training, foster, and you also can do adoption courses. So that's kind of the first step. But also I think whether you're married or not, just making sure that you go before God and pray about it. But also I know families that either one spouse or the other has been a little hesitant and wary about it. But sometimes through that class, God can reveal things and bring peace and direction. So I would say even if you're thinking what God's putting on your heart, there's no harm in taking the class. You're not mm-hmm. committed to taking a kid as soon as you graduate from that class. But that was the first thing we did.
Right. And I think it's important to say, too, that as if you're interested in foster care, you can actually have as little or as much involvement in that as you want to. You can work with DCF to set up your home as maybe just a place where children stay for a week.
So respite
home, you know, until they find other placements, or you can commit to longer term care for kids. And you can also specify what age range mm-hmm. of child you would like to have placed in your mm-hmm. home.
So really there's an involvement level for anyone who's interested in some way.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
That's cool. Yeah. So did you talk to Kim? Did Kim set you up with the classes?
We actually didn't know Kim much at all at the time. So she was a huge resource throughout our foster care journey, but we independently actually went to, we didn't go through Boys Town, who Kim
DCF?
Represents. We were through DCF. We did know the Lombardo family.
Yes.
And I think we were connecting with Kim. We were kind of new at the church. So it was really cool coming to His Providence because there was such a big support and passion for adoption and foster care, but it actually wasn't started here.
Wow.
But it's been such a blessing to be able to join this church family and walk through that together too.
So for people who are wondering, how long are the classes? How long did it take you to complete that?
I think it's 10 weeks total, 10 courses. And Kim teaches them. I believe they're virtual now. Some of them can be online. Maybe they're more in person, but you just do the class and they have guests and speakers and people to, you know, offer resources and answer questions. So
it's great. And you found it helpful.
Yes, super. Absolutely. Yeah. And it was very cool too, because I don't believe she does this anymore, but Colleen was actually at some of our classes as a resource to answer questions. So it was great having her as part of that journey as well.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So then you completed the classes. How long from then until your placement?
Oh, man.
Well, so we had decided to do the class before we had our own family. We also knew we'd want to have our own biological children, but we said, hey, we're never going to have more time and more flexibility than when we don't have to coordinate babysitters, which we know to be very true now. And so we did the course in December, I believe we graduated, of 2019.
Yep, 2019.
And we found out Christmas of 2019, then I was pregnant with our firstborn, our first biological child. But we had kind of decided and committed to still doing the foster care journey. So I believe we had one last vacation planned in February of 2020.
Yep.
And when we came home, you know, I remember saying to Nate, our lives could be forever changed. We were going to be opening our home as foster parents. So we got home, and I believe on the 2nd of March, we got a phone call from one of the social workers at DCF, and they said, we have this little boy who needs a home, and would you be willing to take him? So I remember saying, I got to talk to my husband, but I picked up the phone, called him. He said, let's do it. I was 5 months pregnant.
Wow.
And he was dropped on our doorstep 2 hours later. So,
yeah.
Wow.
And that is our now handsome, lovable, adventurous little boy. Yeah. Not firstborn, but adopted
boy. Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, he's such a blessing.
I remember that day when we knew he was on the way. I think you drove home so fast you got a speeding ticket or something.
I would get that speeding ticket over and over. Oh. Yeah, but I did. I was racing to the store to get formulas. He didn't come with anything, but so I was running to the grocery store and home, and I got a speeding ticket.
Yeah,
oh, it's so beautiful. Because I remember I was friends with you guys at that point. We were doing a young adults group at your house, and then you were gonna have a baby, and then this other baby comes into the picture at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking back now, and even then it was the full acceptance of him as your child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not knowing what the end of the story would be, but he was no less your child than any biological child from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was covered with love. Yeah. He was covered with, the hugs and the kisses and the embrace that any child would want.
Mm-hmm.
And having seen you with your own biological, you have two beautiful daughters and another child on the way, it's the exact same love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is, yeah.
Yes, yes it is.
And even more so, I'm kind of thinking like, oh, imagine if our firstborn daughter was the leader of our tribe. I think Malachi is
they're a great pair.
He leads the way. And it's such a gift. It's true. It's like God knit him right in to be the firstborn little man of our tribe. And we love him so much.
So I think it's important to sort of say, too, that like our foster care experience was a little unique because we had Malachi come to our home in 2020, and that was literally weeks before the world shut down due to COVID.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in our experience, DCF's changed up a lot of how they do visits, how they interact with the children, and how they interact with the biological parents of the children. Mm-hmm. So we went through that, and it was there were additional challenges there, but it made a time when a lot of people, were kind of sitting around at home, really special and memorable for us. It feels like God really knew what we needed in that season, giving us a little boy to take care of.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was kind of amazing how that worked out.
Yeah. Mm. And one of the unique circumstances was that normally during parent visits, you send the child who's in foster care to with the parents and the social worker, and you don't get to attend. But I actually got to attend all of them because it was right in the thick of COVID. So we social distanced during our in-person visits. But I also got to know our firstborn's older sister.
Yeah.
And she was 7 years older than he was.
Yeah, 7 years, the time. I think.
So she had been removed and placed in a different foster home. And we got to build a relationship with her during those visits. And then I got to know the other foster mom. So she'd come for long weekend sleepovers. So her and her little brother got to have that connection and bond, even though there was such an age gap. They got to spend time together, and we really, really, our hearts started to really love her too, tremendously. The story is not a linear one for any one foster care story, but I think a unique situation was that we eventually got to a place where it was time to, the goal changes from reunification with parents to adoption. And the goal changed for our son and then his older sister. So at the time, DCF had approached us and asked if we would consider adopting
his sister.
His big sister.
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah. And I think while our hearts were willing to do that, we had talked to family and said we were praying about this and thinking about adopting both of them, we also, God just lined up some really cool things. Mm-hmm. So Nate's parents are also foster parents, and they were doing respite at the time, and they hadn't taken a long-term placement, but they also had been able to meet his older sister, and they had fallen in love with her as well. And God just lined up so many things and worked in truly miraculous ways. And now she is actually adopted by Nate's parents.
That is, yeah.
So they share the same last name, and we have multiple days a week that we see each other and get to be one big happy family. And also she gets to be a part of like a big, Nate's one of 10. He's the oldest of 10. You can tell that side of the.
Yeah. So I am the oldest of 10 siblings, and my parents, I feel, you know, they're at the end of, you know, they were approaching the empty nester phase, and they wanted to have the experience of adopting. And it feels like God really set up this situation uniquely for them to give them that final experience. And so now there are 11 Ackerson siblings, and it's amazing how all that has worked out.
Yeah.
So you mentioned how a foster care adoption journey is linear. Mm-hmm. And having heard other stories, I definitely agree with that. What was it like for you? Like focusing back on your own experience, what was that transformation, that heart change, those challenges? How did you grow in that season? What were things that the Lord showed you during that journey?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, it's very challenging, especially if you're looking at a foster to adoption route in foster care, because it's quite uncertain if the biological parents or parents are going to come back into the child's life, because generally DCF aims towards reunification, which is understandable. It's great if there's a path for kids to go back to their parents, if that's a safe environment for them to continue to be in. But, you know, for us, we had seen enough to have a general feeling that for my son and his sister that their home was not going to be a good place for them. Mm-hmm. But the system, you know, DCEF and the courts, they have to see the situation the same way that you do, right? So it was definitely uncertain. There were a number of months when we were not sure if both my son and his sister were going to be removed and placed in an entirely different home than ours. Mm-hmm. And
yes, together.
Exactly. So they could be together, because that was one priority of DCF. So we had to push via the lawyers that had been assigned to both children to represent them for a particular outcome in our case. And I feel God really gave me an additional measure of faith to know that this was going to work out in the best possible way from what we could see.
But and maybe, I can testify to Nate's he definitely is the gift of faith, because there was never, in those moments where I felt shaky and questioning, Nate was always like totally trusting the Lord that it was going to work out, and it's worked out better than we ever could have imagined.
Yes.
And so we're so thankful for that, for both our little sister and her boy, and seeing how God's been a story of, has just written this story of like redemption and family and tying us together in ways that we never, never imagined. So,
yeah.
And I will mention one other thing is, throughout our visits, also spending time with their biological mom, I really grew to love her in a weird way, because coming from a place working in the hospital and seeing a lot of abusers and then realizing that's their abuser and we had to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of, resentment and anger towards people who put kids in harm or hurt them or whatever that looks like. And seeing how God worked in my heart was pretty incredible, because it was not me. Right. It was the Spirit that softened me to her, to see her as God's child. And while we knew she wasn't going to be a safe or a good place for the kids to be living, I prayed for her.
Yeah.
I hugged her. I loved on her a lot. And she knew that. And I think that was a really cool experience for me to see how God used me, even though I kind of didn't want to sometimes. But I saw him work in that situation. That was really humbling.
So you really felt that supernatural love.
I did.
That the Lord has. And I think that's so beautiful, because even for those of us, like, we can back off the foster care adoption conversation for a while, just for a second. We all have people in our life. Mm-hmm. Where we feel that justice, where it's like, I know I'm right and I can see this wrong that this person did. And it doesn't excuse their mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, there is right, there is wrong. But we are not good judges, mm-hmm. you know, and the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And in those situations, it's Lord, help me to see what you see. Help me to see a fuller picture. Give me mm-hmm. your heart for them, you know, and Lord, show me how you even showed your love to me when I was not lovable. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to say these things, but experientially it is very difficult. But to experience that transformation, it must have, you must feel so much more equipped now in a way that you were not before.
Yeah, a way that's kind of scary. Sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if I want to let those people into those deep places, but mm-hmm. Jesus loved us while we were still sinners too. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the point. That was really what God drove home in my heart and mm-hmm. continues to as we see families and the Hoving Home and different yeah. resources that yeah. we have in our community and church that mm-hmm. allows parents to encounter the Lord and to love their kids. So
right.
being a part of the foster care journey is certainly a one that you have to do partnered with the Lord. You can't do it in your own strength, but it is a joy and it's a joy that you won't experience unless you allow God to kind of come into that place with you and yeah. to join you in the process.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I will say, yeah, the parts of Pastor Orion's message where he talked about his, you know, experience in his household and the abuse that he was subjected to, it's things like that, that if you're on the fence about getting involved with foster care, you know, just realizing the situations that different kids are in. And if you, as a believer, you know, can be placed into those situations to help these kids and to advocate for them, mm-hmm. That's an incredible mission to be given. And I strongly, strongly recommend considering this for yourself if you feel like that's something the Lord's laid on your heart.
Definitely, definitely. Another thing that I was just thinking about, I'm not in a position to be a foster parent at this time, but when I was in college, one way that I was involved with, we'll call the system, mm-hmm. was I worked in a group home mm-hmm. where a lot of the kids that are in the system are waiting. Mm-hmm. And it's a very difficult place for those kids. So if you need a part-time job, if you even a full-time job, there are so many opportunities mm-hmm. For people who want to work. And that is one of the strongest places to be a missionary in our community, because you can transform a life there. You get so much one-on-one time with the kids and a lot of people that work in those environments. There's so much high turnover in the employees that creating trust is hard with the kids. And they end up putting up this wall of, I can't get too close to you because you're going to go away. And so to have followers of Christ working in those environments is a very beautiful thing mm-hmm. because we love in a way that other people cannot love, because it's not our love. It's the love of the Father flowing through us.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a job, they are always looking for people to work in those positions. There's day shifts, evening shifts, mm-hmm. even some sleep shifts, some night shifts. Mm-hmm. And you can have a huge impact on a child because so much happens in those group homes. A lot of bad things can happen. Mm-hmm. But with the right people there, a lot of good can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So moving into the message, what were some takeaways? What were some highlights that spoke to you as you were listening?
Yeah. Well, the story of Saul's family after Saul and Jonathan passed away in battle is tragic, but you could sort of see this thread throughout it as David is seeking to respect the anointing that was given to Saul, the mantle that was given him, and love his descendants, even though he personally had experienced so much persecution and attack from Saul personally, is really inspiring to me. Just shows the amount of, I think, respect that we should have, you know, for those who we feel God is using to maybe persecute us or attack us, just to respect his process, to know that his ways are higher than our ways. And even, you know, in DCF, while we were at times feeling, you know, a bit oppressed by, you know, we'll call it the system, you know, having a heart of love and continuing to fight for good and justice in that situation was, I think, given to us by the Lord, you know, and just that that sort of divine patience to carry on with what he had called us to do. So that's one takeaway I had. How about you, Haley?
I guess one of the things I was thinking about is just putting myself in Mephibosheth. Am I saying that right? Yeah. Mephibosheth's shoes. And just thinking back, I think it says he was five. When the news reached them about Saul and Jonathan, and that's our little boy's age too. When, you know, he became an orphan, I guess. Right. And just thinking about the fear that must have been, he was probably aware of what was going on, and his nurse picked him up and they ran away to flee. And then he became disabled. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about how at that moment, life was so scary. He was already an orphan and left on his own. And then he now is lame. And just thinking about how later down his story, I mean, he really was the last of the last, and being a lame guy, I don't think he really was going to be making it far in life, and he probably deserved to be killed as well, given that.
That's probably, yeah, that's definitely what he was thinking.
But later you see how God's little redemption story through David, which was the whole reason that his parents, you know, his dad and his grandfather were killed anyways, came in and blessed him. And I just think that's really cool, just seeing how that kind of tied together and seeing how God wove that full circle despite his circumstances and being at the lowest of the low. God still met him there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you highlighted that he's 5 years old because he's not a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He remembers this. He's old enough to understand. And anyone who's been around kids, they pick up on everything. And at 5 years old, he probably remembers conversations that were happening. He remembers the fear, knowing that his his family line is being replaced, and they're coming after his family, and they're going to come after him. And so he's crippled, he's lame, he can't do anything for himself, and so he lives this life hiding, and you can only imagine the hopelessness. The hopelessness he just feels in his heart. And, you know, when we're talking about adoption and foster care and working with those kids, that's a big part of their story. You know, the kids exhibit a lot of, you know, from the group home especially, like, you know, they exhibit a lot of what we'd call behaviors.
Yep.
They're not always, you know, what we would consider like the most compliant or obedient. But a lot of that comes from covering up this woundedness, covering up this hopelessness, this sense of, I have no one to fight for me. And they don't even have the words to put to this a lot of the times. But it's this exterior of, I need to either, it sounds extreme, but it's almost like that primal instinct of, I have to kill or be killed. And that is, and it comes from that place of weakness, of feeling that there is no place for me.
Yep. Yeah, that's very true.
And to have David in this story, like, I just, when we're talking about it, I just get this picture of Jesus, where David plays the role of Jesus for us in our sin. But it plays out in such a beautiful, physical, tangible way. And he calls back for Mephibosheth, that's a tongue twister name.
Mephibosheth,
And they bring him in, and then he sits at the table. And I loved what Pastor Brian was saying about, you know, his lameness is now covered.
It is. Yeah. I like what you have to say about him, you know, being in a place to regard himself as lowly or, you know, just not worth much. Because if you fast forward to, you know, 2 Samuel 9 and David reaches out to him, he says, and he pays homage and he says, "What is your servant that you should show regard for such a dead dog as I?" Mm-hmm. So he really did see himself as being the lowest of the low, like completely outcast from his inheritance, you know, his home, just kind of surviving on the edges of society. But David chooses to bring him back and invites him to his table. And it's amazing, amazing story. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he refers to himself as a dead dog. So he has taken on this identity, this name, this label. And that's what's so hard for these kids, especially the ones that they grow up in the system, moving from place to place to place. They take on this identity of I'm not wanted. I'm difficult. I'm a behavioral child. I have to go see a counselor. I have these medications that I have to take. To manage my behaviors and these impulses in me that where I feel like I have no control. Mm-hmm. And that wounds anyone's soul.
Yep.
And I think it's so easy for us who are in more stable environments, like we take for granted the love and the nurturing that we have received.
Yep.
But there's so many kids that are still in need of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's also worth talking about, too, in this discussion, a little bit of a tangent. But when you're in the foster care process and you're an open home, you have a lot of interactions with people who work for the system. Mm-hmm. So you interact with a lot of teachers and
social workers,
you know, therapists. Yeah. Who specialize in working with these kids. And that's a hard life. I feel that's my sense of it from the interaction we had. There's a lot that I believe would cause you to become very jaded and cynical. Yeah. You know, from your experiences with kids and their families, and even some foster homes. Let's be honest, are not the best experience for kids. And as Christians, we have the opportunity to be a light to these workers. You know, to shine Christ's love to them, to demonstrate that to them in our homes and our commitment to the cause. And it's just another way you can bring light to a very broken part of our world. Absolutely. For sure.
I think I was going to share one of my favorite adoption verses. In Romans talks about how we are brought into how we're adopted. Mm-hmm. And so I'll read this real quick. Romans 8:14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." And I think that's one of my favorite adoption things, verses, but it points out what Nate was talking about how as Christians in the system, getting involved in the system, is that we can model how we ourselves have been adopted into God's family. And so it kind of, with these kids and even the situation itself, levels the playing field to kind of come down and say, we all are in need of of a father or a home and love. And we get to have a heavenly father, but also getting to model that, that we have that in our spirit too.
Yes.
And that adoption has happened by the spirit. Mm-hmm. And then to also have be a home where you can model and talk about that with the kids that are in your home, whether they're older and they think you're crazy, but they get to hear that truth and get to see you walk it out and live it out. And I think it's really important to remember that we are all adopted. We all are in need of our heavenly father, even though some of us have good and bad earthly fathers and mothers. So,
and that's the thing. The heart of adoption is not like this part of God's heart. It is his heart.
Yeah.
And that's what that passage in Romans emphasizes. You know, this is so, this is intrinsically the gospel, mm-hmm. is that you, we now are adopted as sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
And we are called by his Spirit, and we have this Spirit of adoption, mm-hmm. where we can call God by this intimate name. This, we can call him Daddy. We can, yeah. and he ministers that love to us.
Yeah.
So there is nothing that exhibits the heart of God more mm-hmm. than when we go and show that love to others.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whether it is in this practical, very needed way of physically adopting mm-hmm. children, or going to those who people the world would call unlovable, the, mm-hmm. who the world would call broken, who they themselves refer to themselves as broken. I am trash. I am nothing. You know, it is the love of God that transforms, mm-hmm. that breaks down those walls, that removes those labels.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
So in closing, to those who are listening, who are maybe on the fence, what's an encouragement that you would give to them in pursuing this next step?
Well, I would say, I think about it like this. I believe if I remember the statistics correctly, it would require a very small percentage of homes and families within churches in this country to open their doors to foster children in foster care, to completely absorb all of them. You know, it's not a large number of homes that would need to do this. It just, it's a matter, I think, of increasing awareness that this opportunity is mm-hmm. out there, and encouraging families, if they have the time, the resources, and the commitment to get involved, to absolutely take that first step mm-hmm. and explore what your options are there.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I think if you're a member of this church,
yeah.
knowing that you belong to a really big family who's,
yes.
who's ready to wrap their arms around you and to come alongside you and maybe whatever foster care journey you might enter on, and to know that we'll be praying with you and supporting you. There's lots of people who would love to share their stories and walk alongside with you. You're not alone.
Right.
And I think yeah. one more thing is the joy of the Lord is your strength. Mm-hmm. And that you think, oh, I can't do it. You're right. You cannot do it. But by God's strength and by the joy that he gives us, we can do things that yeah. seem hard or unattainable or something that you wouldn't really want to mm-hmm. put yourself into that place, but we're called to do these things, these hard things
yes,
for the kingdom.
Yes.
So I think get on your knees and pray about it and really consider it, because that's what God's heart is after, is
yeah.
the orphan and the widows. So.
And it's mm-hmm. true. We have this army of people who are engaged in foster care in our church, mm-hmm. and we have this support, and it's part of our culture, it's part of our way of life, which is how I believe the Lord would have it. And as you're talking, I'm thinking of Kylie and Evan in mm-hmm. in our greenhouse, and how they're going through mm-hmm. the classes, and mm-hmm. then you and other ladies, that you even had a baby shower for her to prepare mm-hmm. for when that baby comes, mm-hmm. and how normal and part of our way of life mm-hmm. that whole process was. It's not that they're doing this off the wall thing. It's like, yeah, let's do this. This is just as much as having a child mm-hmm. as having a physical child. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an encouragement that someone needs to hear. Mm-hmm. It's not different, because in the Spirit, you know, the Lord has prepared children for you. Mm-hmm. And he will give you that supernatural love. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at it and you're saying, yeah, but it doesn't come from my body, the Lord is bigger than that. Mm-hmm. He is bigger than that. And he will supply this love. And just as, you know, Mary, when the angel came to her and she says, how can this be? Mm-hmm. But then she moves to the place of, so let it be done to me, as you have said. Get to that place. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will supernaturally move in you and birth in you his Spirit of love mm-hmm. and adoption.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen.
Well, thanks for being here with us today. Thank you for sharing a little bit of your story.
Yeah, it's
great
to be
here. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And I'm sure you're available for people that want to talk through.
Absolutely.
On a deeper level, one-on-one. Nate, would you just close in prayer for us?
Sure, absolutely. Father God, thank you for bringing us together today on the show. Lord, I just pray that our heart is for more families to be involved in foster care and adoption in this country, Lord. I pray that you will move in people's hearts to draw them closer to you, to draw them closer to this vision. Lord, I pray that
for those in your church who are considering this, God, that you'll just open their hearts and show them the first steps that they might take in this direction. And I just pray that whoever becomes a part of this, God, that you'll just surround them with a supporting and loving community. Just that your church will grow to absorb as many hurting and needing children who are out there, God, that they might be part of your kingdom with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we will see you all on Sunday. Be blessed and stay in the heart of the Father. Can't count on